Chapter 4. Danger in the Forest. The next day we rested while we recovered from our injuries. That night we were shaken from our sleep by terrible cries and screams. A cold sweat broke out over my body and my heart turned sick at the sound of a creature in agony. The cries were soon joined by a deep, cruel growl. And then there was silence.
"What was it?"
I whispered. "We shall know in the morning," said Lord John. "It was close to us." We tried to settle to sleep again, but were shaken once more, this time by the sound of padding footsteps and heavy breathing as something circled our camp. I peered through a gap in the thorn bushes and saw a hissing, panting shape, the size of a horse with terrible greenish eyes. "I believe it's going to spring," I cried and reached for my rifle.
"Don't fire," said Lord John softly. "The noise will be heard for miles on a night like this."
He then did the bravest thing I've ever seen. He picked up a blazing branch from the fire, slipped through the gap and lunged at the beast, thrusting the branch at it. I saw a horrible face like a giant toad's and a vicious mouth dripping blood. Then, with a dreadful snarl, the creature was gone. Lord John returned and said that from now on we must take turns keeping watch through the night. The next day we went exploring again. At the spot where we'd seen the family of iguanodons, there were now pools of blood and lumps of torn flesh.
"What we heard last night must have been one of the carnivorous dinosaurs out hunting. The Allosaurus, perhaps," said Challenger, looking at the marks left by savage teeth and claws.
"Or the Megalosaurus," suggested Summerlee.
"Indeed," conceded Challenger. "We should be grateful that apart from in this isolated spot, the dinosaurs died out long before human beings arrived on the Earth. We would have little with which to defend ourselves against such beasts. Even our rifles would be useless."
We continued our explorations and saw many wonderful things that day. When we got back to camp, we started to make plans for where we would go next. But Summerlee, who'd been in a bad mood since that morning, said irritably,
"What we ought to be doing is finding some way out of this trap."
"I'm surprised, sir," boomed Challenger, stroking his beard. "I never expected a man of science like yourself would want to miss the chance to study such a fascinating world."
"Our mission," said Summerlee, "was to test your claims. We have tested them and found you spoke the truth. We must now return and let others know."
We agreed that this was the case, but also said it was a shame we couldn't draw a map of the plateau to take back with us. I then had an idea. The tree in the middle of our camp was enormous. If I climbed it, I'd be able to see for miles and would be able to draw a plan of what I saw.
"By George, young fella, what a capital idea!" exclaimed Lord John.
I blushed with pride. Since a young boy, I'd been an excellent tree climber, and I was soon high up among the leaves. I was about halfway up, however, when I nearly fell out of the tree with surprise. I'd come nose to nose with an ape with an almost human face. The face was long, whitish, blotched with pimples, and had coarse bristles on its chin. The ape-man glared at me with evil eyes, then darted from view, gripping the branches with its feet. I almost decided I should climb back down again because I was so shocked, but managed to carry on. When I reached the top, I took out my notebook and spyglass and made a sketch of the view before me. In the centre of the plateau was a large lake. I named it Lake Gladys on my map, with wooded slopes leading down to it on three sides. On the side facing me, however, there was a steep cliff with a number of caves in it. My companions congratulated me when I got back down again, and I was still feeling proud of myself later that night when Summerlee was on watch and the others asleep. I decided I would go for a walk to Lake Gladys in the moonlight. The others would be very impressed with me when they heard about my adventure, I thought. Summerlee was a useless guard. He was nodding over his pipe, so I was able to get by him without him noticing. Once I was outside, I regretted my rashness. I remembered the dreadful cry and the torn flesh of last night's dinosaur hunt. But I was stubborn and forced myself to go on. After several hours in which I was alternately full of fear and full of wonder, I reached the lake and spent some time watching all the activity there. I noticed that there were lights in the caves and the cliff opposite. They were the lights of fires. They must have been made by humans. When my watch said it was gone 2 o'clock, I headed back to camp. I was thinking of all the amazing things I'd seen, when suddenly I remembered the danger I was in. I heard a strange, menacing noise behind me. I started to run, but the noise came louder and closer than before. There was no doubt now. Something was chasing me. I changed direction, running along a new path, but the beast was at my heels, crashing and thudding through the undergrowth. I looked behind, and in the moonlight I could see a row of enormous teeth in its open mouth and the gleaming claws on its powerful forearms. I screamed with terror as it sprang towards me, and then I felt as if I was falling in space and all was darkness.